We're joined now by two people. I'm going to introduce you first of all to Noel Cunningham. Noel is a hotelier, a broadcaster and an etiquette and civility specialist. Noel, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Derek and Brenda, and good afternoon, listeners. I'm spiffing. I'm doing very well.
I noticed you didn't say good afternoon, Ireland.
No, I did not.
You
no.
say that when you're on TV3. Good morning, Ireland.
Good morning, Ireland. That's my TV3 catchphrase.
Are you still there? Are you still doing
it? Yes, I'm on my way there after this because we're going to do a community-based slot for Ireland AM, which is very exciting.
I'm surprised you didn't pop up and tell California.
Well, you know what? I know my body would warrant such an appearance, but there you go. The talent scouts.
Well, you have the tan, Noel.
Yes, so absolutely.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think next week this guy emerges from the pool, this other good-looking, modelly type. It could have been you, Noel.
Well, I accept a compliment from whatever source. Thank you very much indeed.
Anyway, Noel's going to be talking about the do's and don'ts of weddings. We're also joined by Karen Hess, who knows a thing or two about all of this kind of business. She's editor-in-chief of Confetti Magazine, which has just launched its 10th anniversary edition. So you're very welcome, Karen.
10 years, a lot of weddings down the line.
What is a 10-year anniversary?
Well, a 10-year anniversary is a very good question. Maybe one of your listeners can ring in
you
and let
you
us
don't
know.
God, that sounded, Jesus, you sounded like
I'm scarlet for myself.
Vile, don't start like that.
I think it's tin or paper or something
is it?
Like
well,
that.
Well, silver
yeah.
is 25th, isn't that right?
It might even be pearl.
We look more, I think ruby is 50 or something like that, you know. So we're in it for the long haul, not just for the 10 years.
So talk to me about Confetti Magazine.
Well, Confetti Magazine launched back in 2003. And at the time, I mean, you know, we were noticing that there was a lot more going into weddings. People were starting to kind of put more planning into weddings. And I have to say, I mean, 10 years later, you know, I mean, weddings have become productions. It's like you have to be a stylist in order to be a bride. I don't know if you've seen that, Brenda, but I mean, all of the details, it's not just good enough to arrive at a hotel and you see the candelabra and the candles and the centrepieces or whatever. Like, brides now want to make and do so many aspects of their wedding. You know, they want to style their photographs in fields of wildflowers. You know, it has just become so much more sophisticated than it was 10 years ago. But it's been, I mean, if you look through the magazine, you'll just see the comparison between 10 years ago and today. We were looking at the copies of the magazine there, and it's just that level of sophistication and the colour. It's like something that we would have shot ourselves.
Ten,
you know, they're like magazine shoots.
Ten is tin. Just for the record.
Tin.
So ten is thin. Tin. But what do you say to Tom's email there about the cost of it? You could do all that for $5,000.
Well, you could. You know, I mean, you could have it in your back garden. You could throw up a marquee. You could certainly do it. It's not the average. I mean, the average spend is at least $20,000 on a wedding.
Still.
Yeah. Pre-recession, it was about $25,000, and that doesn't include the honeymoon. So that $20,000 doesn't include a honeymoon. Honeymoons are averaging up to $5,000. So, I mean, they're the figures. Couples are taking a little bit longer. We've got an average of about 18 months. So it gives people an opportunity to kind of save as they go. And like you said earlier, actually, Brenda, you commented on it. I mean, a lot of the couples who are getting married now, they're already living together. Like 75% of them are actually living together before they get married.
Mm.
And a lot of them already have kids, you know. So, I mean, it is that thing of saving for a celebration. They nearly always have already got their house. So
now, I haven't been at the wedding fair, and having had a chat with Brenda and other people who are thinking of tying the knot, it seems to me that the man has absolutely no hand, act or part in it. Only
what
he has
shame.
To turn up.
He does have a knee, actually, because 54%, I've loads of figures for you guys, 54% actually get down on bended knee. They still do. And I think that the Irish men have been much maligned, you know. Give them a chance, girls, you know. I mean, what's happening is a lot of girls, they take over, you know. I mean, we've all heard of the phrase kind of bridezilla or whatever, you know. We have not come across any groomzillas. We'd be really interested to find out if there are any
of them
out
there.
Well,
maybe at a gay wedding you might.
Yeah, you might do. Yeah, you might have two of them there, you know. It depends, you know. But I think it's a really good opportunity. Like, we've seen a lot of romantic proposals from men. Men are able to be romantic, women of Ireland. Just let them be, you know. So let your groom get involved in the wedding, sit down, plan your budget, then decide who's going to do what. Let him organise the cars, let him do the band, let him get involved. It'll be a lot less stress all round if you let the groom do some of the work.
Do the couple stick to the budget, do you find?
No. Actually, not all couples even have a budget to begin with. Our research shows us that only 80-something percent of them have a budget at the very beginning, and that's what we would say. Sit down, agree a budget. Most couples will go at least 10% over budget, because it's all that cost creep. Things start to creep in and they see things that they want. So, I mean, more than half will actually go over budget on the wedding. So, you know, depending if your average price is 20 grand, that's an extra 2 grand that you
have
and
to who's
find
paying for it? Because a friend of mine got married recently and they invited me. I couldn't make it, unfortunately, to the afters. And I was saying, God, it's a very nice place you're going to. Now, that's going to cost you a few bob. And they said, it's not costing me that much at all. Mm. The bride's daddy and the family are very traditional and is insisting on picking up the bill for the reception. Is that still
that
going
is not
on
the
to
norm.
This day?
That it certainly isn't the norm. I mean, it probably happens in around 25% of cases. You know, mostly the couples themselves are paying for the wedding. And if you think about it, it kind of gives them more control, really, because when you start to get into a row with kind of family, friends and members about who to invite, you have a lot more say if you're actually paying for yourself. Mm. So, you know, I mean, the 25% of couples are getting some money, mainly from the bride's family, actually. And they'll pay for things like they might pay for the dress, you know, they might pay for one element of the wedding. But the days when the bride's family picked up the entire tab, they're long gone.
It's gone in Ireland, is it?
Long gone.
And that's a good point, because there are certain things you don't get with this package. You don't get the dress.
No.
You don't get the cake. No. You don't get the DJ or the live band. And just for your information, tomorrow we'll be talking to a very well-known wedding DJ, Paul G. Sheridan, a friend of this programme. And we'll be talking about his top five first dance songs, but also giving you some tips on how to deal with the DJ, because it's very, very important, that whole aspect of it. But you said at the outset, Brenda, all of that kind of stuff is too personal. The cake is too personal, the dress is too personal,
very
his
personal.
Clothes are too personal, the DJ, the live music. So that's why that's not an offer with this package, all right? Just bear that in mind. You still have to deal with that yourself. What about the wedding dress, speaking of which, if it's going to be...
Wedding dress, yeah. You know,
I mean, how much does that cost? Because I watched this Don't Tell the Bride and...
It's great fun, isn't it?
I love
that. Money. They go to these shops and they show the wedding dress costs 5 grand.
Room. Fantastic, yeah. I mean, the average spend is about €1,500. You know, you can get a great dress for €1,000 if you shop around. I do think, I mean, I would certainly say if you're planning on wedding dress shopping, certainly buy in Ireland, you know. I mean, there had been a kind of trend a couple of years ago where brides started to get excited about buying online. They thought they'd make loads of savings, and there were some great disaster stories around that. Dresses arriving in from China that were falling apart, you know. So we would definitely, you know... Also, most brides are trying to lose weight before their wedding. Mm. So, you know, and they're thinking, well, I'll buy a dress, maybe a size smaller. We would certainly not recommend that. But, you know, I mean, it's not like the big reveal, you know, on the Swan or something, some sort of show like that. So be realistic. But, you know, if you are buying your dress with a reputable boutique, and let's be honest, there's lots and lots of them, you know, you'll get all the fittings. It'll be an occasion. And that's really the dress after the venue booking is probably the thing that the brides are most excited about.
And what about the stresses? What's causing the stresses on the day?
Well, the main stress in our research is the budget. You know, so couples are kind of stressing about that, about paying for things. The second biggest stress is actually the table plan. Who are you inviting and where are they going to sit? So, I mean, there's lots of tips and tricks about coping with those kind of things. The third biggest stress in our research is dealing with your mother in the planning of the wedding. And actually, interestingly, the fifth stress is the mother-in-law. So, you know, your own mother is probably going to cause you more stress, according to our research, than the fiancé's mother. So, you know, I mean, it is. I mean, there is lots of stress. I think, you know, set aside an evening, a week maybe, where you're going to talk about wedding planning with your husband-to-be, rather than it being every single waking moment of your day, you know. So, you know, there are certain things like that can minimise the stress, you know. And good planning is one of them. And if the average couple are taking 18 months, sure, they've loads of time to plan. Book the venue first and then let everything else follow.
No, and this is where you come in perfectly, because you say the mother of the groom often gets sidelined.
Absolutely. I feel genuinely sorry for the mother of the groom, because very often they are neither consulted nor considered. And I know people will now message in and text in and come on air and say, we always thought about his mother and we involved her. They don't. She is sort of almost there, but not there to be considered. And the point you make is a valid one. Pre-wedding, I think it's all about contracts, unwritten contracts, but you agree with your mother, for example. What are the rules in terms of
the rules
her
of engagement.
Absolutely. Yeah. How much involvement do you want from your mother? So that, you see, mothers tend to, for the best reasons in the world, they want to help organise the wedding. They forget that when they got married, it's quite different to the time that their now daughter is getting married. So you have to lay down clear guidelines as to who does what and what involvement.
How
you
on earth can you do that? Can you just
simple.
See the huff?
Well, you know, not at all, not at all.
No, I can feel the huff
better.
From here.
No, I don't agree, because it's much better to have a huff for a few days, simply because you've told your mum that, look, mum, I do not want you coming to help me choose my wedding dress. I don't want you to...
Can I just say
no?
I don't want you to decide what colour my bridesmaids are wearing. I don't want you to decide which of my cousins can and can't come to the wedding. No, I really do feel passionately about this, because I have done so many weddings. I have looked after so many weddings for the last 30 years. I have seen relationships fractured for those very simple reasons. And it's better to have a mum huffing for a few days than having tears and tantrums the day before the wedding and a bad atmosphere at the top table. I really am passionate in my belief about
that. The one thing I'd say though, Noel, is like, do remember that you're very unlikely to find anyone who might be as interested in the minute details of your wedding as your mother.
And that's a huge
advantage. And a lot of girls, I mean, like, that's where the bride's ill a bit comes in, because every waking moment is all about the wedding. All their friends are completely tormented for 18 months. And, you know, your mom is going to let you go on and on and on and be just as interested in it as you are. Your work colleagues, you know, they will be interested to a point, but they don't want to know about it every single
day. But your mother will not let you just... Your mother will listen to you. But unfortunately, you know mums as well as I know mums. Mums will just put their oar in and say, well, actually, darling, I didn't quite like that colour. And you remember when Samantha got married, she chose that colour. And, you know, you will have to ask Auntie Rose. And I know John is a distant cousin.
However, Noel, can I say something?
Of course, Brenda.
I look back at when I got married 120 years ago, and I remember having the biggest row with my mother about Auntie Biddy. She wanted to bring Auntie Biddy, and it wasn't Auntie Biddy plus one, plus two, it was Auntie Biddy plus three. So that was Auntie Biddy and three other people. And I was going, oh my God, what? And I've loads of friends and they're not coming, and now Auntie Biddy, and in fairness, Auntie Biddy's long past, so I can tell the story or whatever. But I had the biggest row with her over it, right? And years later, when I look back on it, I was going, what was I fighting over?
Yeah.
Was it over nothing? If, you know, they bring you up, they've kind of fed you, put you through college, did all those things, and the father wants to walk up the aisle with the bride, let him. You know, if she wants to be nosy, if she wants to bring Auntie Biddy, just let her, for God's sake. Yeah, so this is looking back on it now over the years. What was I fighting over?
Yeah, but nobody's suggesting that you be horrible and that you don't listen to your mum. Of course you listen. And of course you take on board the good advice. But at the same time, why not take your mum for lunch and your mother-in-law and just sort of clearly lay out the plan that you have in your mind for arranging your wedding and tell them the parts that you would like input from them.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps things healthy.
I definitely agree with you on that one, Noel. I mean, I do think, you know, have a good, healthy conversation at the very get-go. Give them a job to do. Your mum just wants to help.
Yes.
Actually, she is your ally. You know, I mean, so it isn't, it shouldn't be kind of a big battle. You know, let her get involved, but, you know, control the involvement, like you suggested.
And then I take
Give
issue with one thing you said earlier as well, and not that I'd want to fight with you at all, but I do wish, I believe people are being a little bit more realistic now and more sensible, because frankly, I had an involvement recently with a wedding, and the bride insisted that after the church and on her way to the reception that she would actually go into this field to be photographed with two beautiful, beautiful horses that sort of were their Clydesdales. And guess what? It was a rotten, wet, rainy, misty day. They had forgot to get Wellingtons. They were running round. They'd sent the poor old groomsman off in a car to find Wellingtons to get the bride into the field. Chaotic. And then that leads me to that very other important point. The people who sometimes are completely forgotten at a wedding are the guests. A bride and groom can quite forget the fact that there are 150 guests waiting. They've been on the road since 10 o'clock that morning. Mm. It's now 5 o'clock in the evening. The bride is still sitting on a rock on a shoreline because the light
but
wasn't
she's getting
out
great
for a photograph.
Photos, no?
And her guests are ravishing, blaming the venue because they're not getting any food and they're sipping a glass of horrible cheap sparkling wine or a chocolate fountain. And again, another point, give your guests a half glass of decent champagne rather than fill them with cheap and nasty sparkling wine, you know, because mixing the grape and the grain anyway is a bad idea. You know, it's all those little things. I know you think I'm almost sounding anti-wedding. I'm not. I'm just merely saying my experience has been to not be afraid to lay it on the line how you want to do it and remember your guests.
I'd say remember your guests, but remember it is your wedding after
all.
You know,
yes.
So they're there for you. You should not have to be a host on your wedding day, really, you know, running around looking after everyone else because the day is gone and what are you going to remember?
But haven't you invited them? Aren't you expecting them to give £100 or €100 per person toward the day?
Where are you going not with the host?
That is the
norm.
Remember
when Damien O'Reilly got married to Katrina McKiernan, I brought her a packet of tissues.
Yeah, but Derek, the norm is...
She might be crying. I did.
The norm is, I know you, Confetti have probably done some research on this, but the norm is 100 per 100 per guest.
Per person,
Yes, 200 is the standard money in the envelope now.
Per couple.
No. No, 150.
Well, Noel is talking about Donegal figures, you know, and let's be honest, Donegal, you're talking seriously big, big weddings.
I'm not even talking about Donegal. I'm perhaps talking about country weddings as opposed to city weddings.
Why do you have to give anything?
Well, that, of course, is another mute point. Why bother?
You invite me to your wedding. I received the invitation in the post. Thank you very much. I know the person. I'll go. Maybe. I mightn't go. I might be busy that day. I don't know. Why should I have to bring you a present?
You have to bring a present.
Why?
Because, you know me, tradition and etiquette, good manners, it's appropriate.
I thought good manners would be turning up if you were available.
Yes, it's appropriate to mark an occasion such as a wedding with the giving of a gift. It's like Christmas or a birthday. That is good manners. It's the way things are done. As I say, why don't we forget about all these traditions, put the milk carton in the middle of the table and get on with it. You know, you have to stick to some of the nicer things.
No, the thing, though, if I could say, you know, if you ask most brides if they were being really, really, really honest as to what they'd like for their wedding gift, what would they
say? Money.
Money.
Exactly.
But the problem is, what the intimation and suggestion there is, that you end up at a wedding with a rather large number of strangers, people whom you've never met. You have them there for purely financial reasons because they're helping to sponsor the day and the honeymoon. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's rather sad because I think a gift or a wedding list, and wedding lists are, I notice, beginning
people
to...
People have their houses now, no?
That's
yeah.
right,
to a certain extent. They have their toasters.
Well, not everybody.
No.
No, I'm saying to a certain extent. They have their toasters. They have their steam irons.
A very well-known lady asked me to her wedding a few years ago.
What's her name?
And Sinead Desmond. And her wedding list was fabulous because it was in a very well-known store, but she had such a wonderful selection of gifts, and all of which were absolutely cheap and cheerful and lovely, you know, like lemon peelers and glasses.
Was it Brown Thomas? Or
it was absolutely Brown Thomas, yeah.
When I'm doing
and it was really,
it's going
really
to be my wedding list is going to be in TK Maxx.
Excellent, yeah. No, but I really do like the idea of a wedding list.
Would be,
I think I just
would
consider
you
money.
Gone? We have to get you somebody first.
I know, yeah. How you fix, Noel?
Oh, you know what?
Right. Listen, come here. We want to talk to you about lots of things, but we've got to take a little bit of a break and then Mooney's money thing. But we would like your comments on this. You can email mooney@rte.ie or text 51551. My niece, says an email, was at 7 weddings last year, being of that age group. 7 days annual leave, 7 presents, clothes, accommodation, etc., etc., etc. And the euro signs.
Ding, ding.
You know yourself. So it can be very expensive, even for people who aren't having the wedding.
Yeah.
But I just want to go back to the point about giving the present. I really feel that if somebody put me on a list and sent me or told me where their wedding list was and invited me to the wedding, I'd just ignore it. Because I would feel, if you were inviting me to your wedding just to buy you a present, you got the wrong guy.
But
I think you should, if you want to buy somebody something, you buy it when you really feel the moment is appropriate to buy them something, or when you think, oh, they could do with that. Because I think if you do know somebody very well and they're settled, and I was at a situation where friends of mine got married last year, and Alan and Carl, I didn't buy them anything. So I thought, what do they need? They don't need anything for
me.
Yeah,
but you treated them to something later.
Later,
that's
but it just happened.
But
like
I suggest that you subconsciously intended doing that.
Yeah,
and
but,
I think people aren't inviting you to their wedding because they expect you to bring a gift. They're inviting you to their wedding because they want you to be part of it.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Do people put wedding lists in stores they would never normally shop in themselves? and they think, oh, we'll get good stuff out of that place, so we'll have it there. I mean, that's
no, I don't. I don't nonsense. Think people do. I really don't think people are that cynical. I think people will put the wedding list in a store that perhaps gives the greatest variety for their guests to choose, those who want to buy something that's, as I said, cheap and cheerful and fun, to slightly more expensive. I think that would be the rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Would
you agree with that? I must admit, I don't like them in department stores, you know, because they have like the biggest range of things across the home.
Both at
for
cost
example.
And variety. Mm. And as I say, guests, it's, I have no problem whatsoever.
But do you think there should be a wedding list?
Etiquette. I think wedding lists or personally, if you know someone very well, a well-chosen gift. I always buy a gift for a guest.
No, but that's you. But I think there should be no list. If somebody wants to buy you a present, let them buy you a present.
No, but then you stand the risk of getting lots of things you don't like or will never use.
But so then you send out a little note saying, listen guys, we don't really need anything. Please don't buy us presents. Leave it at that. Your presents at our wedding reception will be the present in of itself.
Unfortunately, not many people nowadays can afford to adopt that very sort of wonderful attitude.
What do you mean they can't afford it?
I mean, people are planning their wedding.
It doesn't cost them any money to say, don't bring me anything.
People are planning their wedding.
And their money grabbers.
And sadly, they need some of the money that's going to come in by way of gifts to pay
for that.
But then
it should be honest to say, look, make a donation of 100 quid.
Well, sure, it's a given anyway that that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, but
nowadays.
No present. Just give us the 100 quid.
And
we
I
need
just
the money.
Don't like that. I personally don't like that, but that's the way it is.
Lots and lots of emails and text messages coming in. I'll just read some of them out to you. My sister, who was recently mother of the groom, was completely ignored and she was very hurt, says one of her texters. So that goes back to the point you were making, Noel, about, you know, be cognizant of the
it's
groom's
not,
mammy.
It's not through, it's just lack of thought. They forget about her.
And this one says, on the same subject, give her a job to do, quoting someone on your programme, that'd be you, Noel. Sounds horribly condescending, actually. The mother of the bride and groom are not stupid, says one of her texters. Or was it you who said give them a job to do? Was it? Sorry, Karen.
I'm hiding, my
apologies. I thought you said give her a job to do. My apologies.
There's loads of jobs to do when you're planning a wedding.
I know, but when you give her a job to do, it sounds condescending and horribly
After having a conversation, as you said.
No, I'm just wondering, why is it that they say that when a son marries, it's, you know, the mother-in-law's gained a daughter, but if the son marries, that mother has lost a son? Like, why is it like that? I mean, and does that reflect in the way they deal with the mother and the mother-in-law situation at a wedding?
There's an element of that. But I suppose the thinking behind that is that mothers and daughters have that unassailable bond that has been in sort of evidence throughout the wedding planning when nobody else got a look in. And now it's really official. You've definitely sort of you've gained a son as well, because really and truly, the mum and the dad of the groom lose out.
I'm conscious of the fact we're talking about the bride and the groom the whole time. Can I just reiterate the fact that this is open to gay and lesbian couples as well who are entering into a civil partnership? Just for the record, this in competition and details on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. This one says, I organised my own wedding. I would never have mum involved as she couldn't organise a birthday party.
Isn't that fantastic? But that's lovely.
I paid for the wedding, so I was having what I wanted as I paid for it. I never expected a present, never mind €100 ahead. I like you. That's pure greed. I agree with you. It doesn't say who it's from. Noel, on the other hand, is on the spot. €200 is the amount spent on a present for a wedding these days. Another one here says, Noel is so right about everything. There is a right way to do it, and it's the only way. What a true gentleman, says Michael, who's listening in Arklow. So there you go.
Very charming.
Somebody who understands
Michael.
And appreciates your pedigree, Noel.
Well, maybe he and I will be having a civil partnership.
Hey, Mike, you never know.
You never know.
This one says,
Michael.
I married my wonderful husband 8 years ago. We had 50 of our closest family and friends there. Our wedding in a 5-star hotel here in Galway, including our honeymoon to Cuba, cost us only €9,000. It was the most fabulous day for everyone, and people are still talking about it today and how amazing it was. And the crack was 90, literally, says Mary in Galway. Congratulations, Mary. In fact, very interesting programme on about Cuba the other evening and how now they've kind of waived the visas for people entering and leaving the country, so you can now get out much easier than you could in the past. And there are flights now from Miami. The whole place is opening up. So if you're thinking of seeing Cuba, now is the time to see it before it all changes kind of utterly. How much would you give if asked to the evening reception stroke afters of the wedding? Oh,
good very question.
Would you give anything?
Evening reception, very, very sensitive area, because so many say, you know, if I'm not good enough or I'm not on the main list, why would you invite me to an evening reception? And I have some sympathy for that train of thought. Although, to be fair, again, going back to the country, you have to limit the numbers at the main reception because maybe the venue can't actually accommodate the numbers you would like to have. So you've no alternative but to have an evening event.
Well,
but some
no,
people feel it's second class.
Well, no, I don't want to rub it into people who are second class citizens and invited to the afters. But, you know, the truth is the people who are at the wedding are the ones they put before your name on the list.
Yeah, that is how people feel in a lot of cases. And I am kind of, as I said, kind of agreement with that train of thought, yeah. If you don't want me, watch you walk down the aisle and give me a glass of champagne and sit down with you for dinner, I don't want a sausage on a stick at 10 o'clock at night, thank you very much, and a present, give you one, no.
Listen to this. Peter says that he attended a wedding in Switzerland where a raffle was held to fund the honeymoon.
Wow,
that's brilliant.
I like it a lot.
So vulgar.
That's a great idea.
Oh,
yeah. What's vulgar about
it? Utterly vulgar. It's awful.
Hang on. He doesn't say what the prize was. The prize could have been a fantastic prize if it was a raffle. It might have been, you know, a trip to, I don't know, Barbados or somewhere you might want to go to the sun, and then you maybe pay £2 or £3 or £5 if there's 100 people there, and then they get the money to go on their honeymoon. Happy days. Nobody loses out. What's the problem with that?
But how can it be a raffle? You're just collecting money to send them on honeymoon.
You're giving them a ticket and they may be a prize for the raffle, but they collect enough money to go on their honeymoon and cover the cost of the raffle prize as well.
No, I don't know.
I was doing my best. Anyway, being invited to a wedding is just like getting a bill in the post.
I love it.
I like that a lot. I'm getting married this year. Immediate family in great restaurant with champagne and canapés for friends later in the pub. No presents. I like that as well. Hi, Derek. My son was married recently and I felt like your speaker said neither consulted nor considered. We were told who we could ask and our families were put down the room instead of up the top.
Dear.
We felt unwanted and I am unhappy with the way things were handled.
And that won't mend. That's the sad thing, that fracture will never fully...
Well, clearly it hasn't.
Clear, yeah.
But what about the top table issue? I mean, have tables changed? Are the top tables in the middle of the room as opposed to up at the top and you
depends.
Look all at
it? It depends. Some choose one in the middle of the room. Some choose to put it on the actual stage in the venue. Mm. Some choose to put it at a focal point. The rule of thumb there from an etiquette point of view is it should be placed where all of your guests can see you and they're not straining to see you around a pillar or whatever or somebody making a speech. That would be the rule
properly. I think the centre of the room makes sense. You know, you're close to all your guests. And you can interact with them. So that kind of makes sense.
You're part of it, absolutely.
You're in it.
And you're seen.
This one says, a friend of mine was invited on a stag where the groom was boasting that he'd make a profit on his wedding as they had invited 320 people.
Whoa.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah.
Another one, having been through many of my children's weddings, I would agree with the gentleman that the groom's mothers can be sidelined, not only at the wedding, but also when their grandchildren arrive.
Ooh, that's very heavy.
Now we're really a can of worms.
I think we're going to hand this section over to Joe Duffy tomorrow. Something tells me it's getting out of hand here. Brenda is right. Well, that's a first.
Okay.
Brenda is right. Show respect and thought for the parents on both sides who brought you up. Suzanne.
Yeah, that's
listening.
A lovely. That is absolutely true. Nobody would doubt that.
This from a mother of the groom says, I have been included in everything.
Oh, lucky girl. And I'm delighted. You're very special, you are.
My friend was mother of groom 6 times and she has some advice. Wear beige and shut up.